The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It is being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
Transportation. You have one van right now, so you need transportation for about 25 still. So two Suburbans might not do it. Although if you're willing, we will, if you'll sign a release, we will strap your child to the roof. If you'll sign a release. So no, we won't. Unless they act up and then, no, we really won't even do it then. So praise the Lord. All right. So anyway, get a hold of them if you would like to loan us something, and we will bless you beyond belief for doing that. Isn't it amazing that they've got, so six minus, they have 27 or 28 youth kids going to this conference that they're putting on. Thurman and Nicole will be doing the teaching, and so I think that it'll be a great time. All right, we have primary choir day with Miss Lonnie. If you're from 3 years old to first grade, you can be dismissed. Thank you. Yeehaw. Did Ty find his hat? Oh, man. That's too bad. I'd heard that the Stetson was gone. So, yeah. Hallelujah. All right. For the rest of you, open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Proverbs chapter 31. And before you check out and think, oh, this is a traditional Mother's Day service, just hang on. Okay, I am not going to teach what mothers should be today. I'm not going to tell you here's what the Bible says and all that kind of stuff. But boy, if you're a child and your mom is in the building, I'm after you. And if you're a dad and your wife or your mom is in the building, we're after you today. So anyway, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. We just are so grateful, Father, for how you deal with us, how you love us where we are in life, how you love us so much you won't leave us there, that you continue to encourage and strengthen us, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that in the midst of this time, that you will speak to us mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared just in passing this morning in our Sunday school class a part of these statistics, and it garnered a great strong result. And so I am going to clearly say to you today that what I'm about to share is from a published survey from Barna, May 6, 2014, their survey on mothers, Christian mothers specifically. I'm going to give you some cherry-picked statistics, and then I'm going to focus on one. But in this survey, and I read it casually, wrote some of the things down, and if you know who George Barna is, they've done research for probably 30 years into the state of Christianity in America, and probably all over the world, but I can certainly say America, and so forth. So this is their survey that they did, and basically they came up with 75% of Christian moms are satisfied. They're just satisfied with life. 80% of them, and you'll hear this, and you'll hear this interesting process inside. So 75% are satisfied in life, and 80% declare that they're stressed. So evidently, the one strength that you all have is you can be satisfied and stressed at the same time. Hey, there it is. Okay. So that's where I got it. 46% of these stressed women blame their stress on the fact that their husband is just one of their children. Somehow or another, that tickled me. 70% of them say they're tired. And 95% say they want to be better in at least one issue in their life. 95% of you want to make some changes in at least one area. And because it's Mother's Day, today's the only day we won't tell you what area we'd like you to change. But 95%. Now, somewhere else in there, they ask some questions about feeling good about yourself and that kind of stuff. And basically, Christian moms feel, when they were asked, do you feel better about these things, they were 13 times more likely to feel better as parents, as moms, 13 times more likely to feel better as parents. They're twice as likely to feel good about the quality of their life. They're twice as likely to feel better about themselves physically and in their image. But the one I want to talk about is that they're 11 times less likely, 11 times less likely at considering their status in the world. They feel bad, according to this survey, about themselves when they compare themselves in the world. That's the one that I want to focus on. Because there's not a mom in here who probably isn't honored and loved and cherished by their children, by the husband of their children, and by people around them. I know that many of you know that your house would literally fall apart piece by piece in general without the mom. I mean, it would. My wife was on all week this week. I want to show you my grocery shopping ability, and some of you are really going to appreciate this. Did you know that they sell hot dogs in packs of eight? And occasionally, you can't buy eight hot dog buns to go along with, or, you know. So I was thinking this through. I'm thinking, this is a dumb thing. Did you know that they sell tortillas in packages of eight? So I bought me a package of small tortillas, eight, and a package of hot dogs. Did you know that if you put a tortilla and a hot dog together on a paper plate, you can put them in the microwave for 30 seconds and they are warm enough to be compared with McDonald's food? If you were in my refrigerator today, you would find two hot dogs left and two tortillas left. Because while my wife was on, I ate Raisin Bran and hot dogs wrapped in tortillas. Raisin Bran, essentially, every morning on Saturday, I gave myself a treat. Because being a cook before, I know how to make French toast, and I had three pieces of bread left. I cracked three eggs, put the bread in the eggs, put them in the skillet. And oh, by the way, here's what else I learned about my wife, is that she thinks when she cooks something, she should put it on a plate. I have a way better plan. I cook it, leave it on the stove for a little bit. When the pan is not quite so hot, I take the pan with me. I eat out of the pan. One thing, if you're going to have to wash it anyway, don't waste a paper plate that costs 2.5 cents. Eat out of the pan. Welcome to my Mother's Day week. My wife was gone. I had hot dogs. And you know, to give the spice of life, you know what I did? The first time I had them, I took ketchup and put on my hot dog. And I rolled it up in the deal. And by the way, the reason you roll it in a tortilla is because it's also good for walking around food. You just fold the bottom up, nothing comes out, you know, and you just bite off that dude and it works really good. So I actually had one of them for lunch while I was mowing the lawn. Ketchup on it. And so the spice of life in my world over this last week was I took a hot dog and a tortilla, and to make it different, this time I put barbecue sauce on it. Those were my meals. I can tell you, in my house, the mother of my children needs more honor. Because I am really poor at doing what I don't take a second thought about what she does. My wife has never served me. By the way, guess what our Mother's Day lunch is going to be today? I already cleared it with her. The two hot dogs that are left and the two tortillas. And her option is going to be, would you like ketchup or barbecue sauce? Because that's what I have available. What? Well, I am not doing mustard. You know me better than that. I don't even want you to eat mustard. That's the 95% of the things you're thinking about changing one thing. That's it. Stop eating mustard. That's some stinking stuff. Anyway, we have an opportunity as Christian men and Christian children to do something about the status assessment of the average Christian woman in our midst today. Now, let me ask you a question, getting back to this. How is status, and this is a rhetorical question, but if you have an answer, shout it out. How is status measured in the world? Anybody want to touch that one? know that they put a survey out today, this morning, on the most favored mothers in America? And do you know that every one of them is married to a politician? I just found that astounding. How do you know what kind of a parent they are? They're just honored. I want to tell you something. When I see a mom with multiple children dragging through the grocery store, I just want to bow down and worship. You know, how do you do that? You know, I mean, it's just the most amazing thing what you girls do. But in the world, status is measured by influence, power. What else? Power being kind of an authoritative type of power. Strength. How many of you men want to have a baby? Yeah, see, you get no takers. Once men figure out what's going to go on when the babies come, men would not have babies. It ain't happening. Our society would extinguish itself in just a few generations if men had to have babies. You gals are so... And the crazy thing, the absolute crazy thing about it is you do it more than once. It makes no sense to me at all. I mean, if I was young and ignorant and did it once, fat chance it's happening to me again. Right? I mean, I'm not even replacing the population if it's left up to me. In fact, it's mothers who keep dads from killing their own children. Mothers are awesome. How do we measure it? Power, strength, influence. Look with me at the 10th verse of Proverbs chapter 31. And notice what it says. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. One of the other ways the world gathers in its assessment of that status is worth or value. So here's a scripture for you. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? If you do the research and find what this virtuous means, it means a woman of power, a woman of strength, a woman of influence. Now let me stop you for just a second. If the Bible says that our moms are supposed to be this, feel this way, why is it that Christian women don't measure themselves on a status higher than anyone else? Now, before you think it's their thinking, keep in mind that they are a product to some degree of their environment. And every time, are you kids listening? Every time you kids go to the table and wrinkle up your nose at what's been cooked, you are sending a message about value. Every time you husbands come home from work with having spent all of your words at work, and you answer in semi-coherent caveman grunts, you are sending a message about value. See, when we looked for you, the Bible says, find someone of strength, of power, of influence. Now, I'll take you back to my courting days. I had one, I'll talk to you guys because your parents will likely not tell you this, okay? But I will because I'm honest. I had one date with that woman and I went to pizza with my best friend and I said to him, I'm marrying her. One date. Now, I know your parents will say, you can't know that in one date. Your pastor knew that in one date. By the way, we've been married since 1976, be 4 years in 2016. So 38 years this year, we will be married. Have 4 children, raise them in 1 or 2 levels of moderate success. Don't know how to measure it. They're still living. I didn't kill them because she wouldn't let me. They will tell you that's not possible. But you see, what's built inside of every man is a desire to find someone who can influence them. Now, if you ever see a young man who pretends or says he's in love, one of the things that we look at them and go, geez, you must be in love, because they just act stupid. Right? I mean, they're just nuts. But see, the Bible says, and our parents come to us and say, what is wrong with you? I've been influenced by the woman that God sent me. I've been influenced. Some of you have been so significantly influenced by the woman God sent you that you're not even the same person we remember you as. Isn't that amazing? And yet, Christian women answer the phone, talk to the Barna survey guy, and they're 11 times less likely to be confident in their status. 11 times. It's not their fault, men. It's not their fault, children. Somebody needs to take this to heart and say, I have found a virtuous woman, a woman of power. See, what happens, the church has sent a message that says, wives, submit to your husbands. That's the part they remember. It says immediately after that, as unto the Lord. Your wife is wired by God to submit to the Christ-likeness that you display in your life, and she will call you everything but an idiot if you get outside of those boundaries. Amen, man? You ever been corrected by your wife? Why do you act that way? Why do you talk that way? That's the influence that God sent you. It's the influence that God sent you. Only when we're trying to be ourselves in our own power, we look at that and we say, what is she? My wife has a great way whenever we're in public like that. She just holds on to me. And if I start down a road conversationally, I'll feel this squeeze. What that says is, hey, you need to think this through before that stuff dribbles out of your mouth. See, that's why preaching is such a great relief for me, because ain't nobody up here squeezing my arm. When we get home, she says, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Oops, too late. That's the influence. See, God gave that to us. It's a purposeful thing. And what we do as husbands and as children, at times we devalue. And then we scratch our heads and we go, why don't Christian women think more highly of themselves? Why is it they can't see that in the status measurement, even in a worldly status measurement, they have all the power, all the authority, all the influence that God designed them to have? We are in connection that way. Who has found a virtuous wife? What a powerful thing that is. Look what else it says. For her worth is far above rubies. This word literally means to calculate without calculation. Beyond calculation, her worth is. Now, I know that the world occasionally, if you've seen those studies, where like around Mother's Day, somebody puts a pencil to what moms do. And if you had to hire somebody to do what your wife and your mom did every day for you or every year, it costs you like $300,000 a year to hire those people to do what they do. And we don't even say thank you. What happened in the Christian world to taking these kinds of things to heart? Now again, I'm responding to a survey of Christian women. It'd be different if I was trying to fix the world. I'm trying to fix us. I'm trying to fix us. What happened to the godly men who rise up and shout the blessedness of their virtuous wife? Because God knows now how much you rise up on the inside when she doesn't act the way you want her to. See? Get real quiet in the Presbyterian church when you talk like that. On the inside, see? When you're cussing her, because. I mean, for me, my wife was gone all week long. I didn't like it. Not even a little bit. I whined to myself on the inside regularly. My wife would text me or call me and she'd tell me what she was learning. I don't care. Come home and take care of me. I can teach you everything you need to know. See, that's why women blame their stress level on their little boy husbands. I don't want you to leave me. What if I need something? I mean, that's really the truth. What if I need something? I mean, who knows where my stuff is? What if I need something? And the reason that she knows where my stuff is because she's constantly moving it. And what rises up on the inside of me is she's doing that on purpose to emphasize her value. It's a whole big scheme that they have as women. They take our stuff and they move it, so we need them. And who gets to determine where stuff goes anyway? I got a little bit more. I got to get on this. Why do they get to determine where stuff goes? Where I put it is where I left it on purpose. My wife walked in last night, 9:30 at night, got off, drove home, and came in. And of course, you know what she did? She unpacked her suitcase. She got the laundry run. I mean, she had like three things in three different rooms all at the same time. And she looked in the bedroom and she saw my black jacket It's this golf kind of jacket, a real thin thing that I wear when it's kind of cold, but not really too cool. Not, you know, so just a little jacket. Had it hanging on the doorknob. You know why I hang it on the doorknob? I have every intention of wearing it again. Right? And I don't want to put it in the closet because I worked really hard to get her to buy those smelly things at the grocery store that you put in the laundry that makes your laundry have that foo-foo smell all the time. Now, I know some of you men don't like that, but I like that. I just pick my clothes up. And some of you, if you did this, you'd die. Man, my clothes smell good. My wife puts that foo-foo stuff in there, and I like the way it smells. I like my towel to smell that way. But if I wear my coat outside and it gets the outside smell, I can't hang it up in the closet. Because then the outside smell is on the good smelling stuff. So I hang, see, why does she get to determine if you're going to wear it again, hang it up in a closet? No, that's what God made doorknobs for. And she looks, and of course she's missed me. And so she's really being gracious to me. And she just looks in there. Oh, by the way, also laying right there, very neatly, stretched out very neatly in front of the closet. Now, when I say stretched out, these are my pants, okay? My pants, when they're stretched out, they cut a swath on the ground, okay? So my blue jeans are laying there. Now, you want to know why they were laying there? Because she was gone, and I wasn't going to wash them, and so I was careful with them. I'd wear them, and then I'd take them off. I'd lay them out real nice because I was going to wear them again because I ain't washing them. It's not my job. Oh, now listen, everybody went, oh, come on, man. What happens on the inside of you? Some of you don't even know where the washing machine is. And dear, did you know that washing machine soap comes in little plastic pouches now? You don't have to know how much. See, I used to pour. Well, you know, put the powder and put the liquid in. Now you just throw in them little pouches in there. Well, that's way cool. I think I could do laundry now. But I wasn't going to. And don't you men look up here and everybody groaned. That's just, I'm not very far from how most of you think. When was the last time almost any of you did any laundry? And only out of necessity did you do laundry. Okay? I've actually known people to buy clothes before they do laundry. Just so you know. I ran out of socks once. I thought, this is crazy. I ran out of socks. It never entered my mind to wash them. I just bought more socks. I thought, you know, she'll get to this pretty soon. I'm going to get me some more socks so I never run out because I'm not washing the clothes. And then you wonder why women have trouble getting their status. And by the way, before you say, well, you just get it from God. They were wired to get it from us. Jesus, God, said in the Garden of Eden, your desire shall be for your husband. They're wired for us. And what do? Hey, hope you can make it. Did you get the laundry done? See, there's something in them that causes us to come to us for some level of their value. And if you'll learn this and learn it quick, you'll have less marital problems. Because I will tell you that she was born with a marriage manual in her heart. We were told by, now think of this, we were told by God to love her. She was never told by God to love us. Never. She wired that way. And in all honesty, for some of you men, you ought to be thanking God that she's wired to love you because she keeps loving you even when you act that way. Your worth, it's invaluable. It's beyond calculation. Now, with your thing there, your Duma Flabby there, just turn back because we're going to come back to that because we're going to pray for people in just a moment. Turn back, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me give you one verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the 7th verse with me, would you please? Husbands likewise, and you know, every time there's a likewise, you need to go backwards and figure it out, start connecting things together, but that's not our purposes here. It says, likewise, dwell with them, with your wife, with understanding. Now, this verse has always caused me to struggle just a little bit because the Holy Spirit is saying to us, evidently, that it is possible to live in understanding with your wife. Who would have thunk it? You know, it's possible. But here's the neat thing about the word. Did you know there's another word for complete, exact knowledge in the Bible? There's another word for complete and exact knowledge. This isn't it. This literally means fragmented and progressive type of knowledge. So here's what he's saying. Husbands, live with your wife in a fragmented and progressive understanding. Meaning that you start the process and the process keeps going. You don't know everything you need to know. And the women said, see, they didn't even want to say amen to that. They know. They know that their husband is brain damaged. They know that. Every man is. Don't look at me like you've never heard this before. Testosterone is released somewhere between 18 and so many days of gestation. It washes over the brain and destroys motor neuron connections between the two lobes of the brain. You have from 30 to 40% less connection between the sides of your brain than your wife does. That's why when she jumps from subject to subject and you get lost, she's just utilizing the extra highways that she's got. We don't have them. And that's why you get stuck over in the logic and she says something that makes no logical sense, but makes perfect sense to her, and you just stare at her because you can't get past the fact that you can't get from your logic to your art, right? Logic on one side, art on the other. And you want to get over here in the creative side, but you can't get over there because the thing she said was so illogical that you can't get past it because you don't have enough connection to get from one side to the next. And so your wife knows you have a damaged brain. And yet, she loves you without instructions. That's why God gave us instructions. He said, oh yeah, I forgot to mention this to you, but when I created you guys, and when this thing got separate, man, you get the testosterone. Sorry for the effects of that. Right? That's what God, sorry for the effects of that. You're gonna deal with the rest of your life. There'll be times, testosterone is why little boys fight to see who gets to be in charge. And little girls talk. They'll negotiate. Boys will hit you with a caterpillar. Bam! Whoever bleeds first loses. That's why boys, when somebody gets hurt, they laugh. Because over here, logically, if they're okay, dear God, that was funny. Right? Well, they're okay. Woohoo! That was really funny. When Tracy and I were watching the skydivers in Arizona, I wanted one of them to just biff it, and just roll up in their deal. Because I thought, if he's okay, that is going to be one of the funniest things. I hope I'm videotaping when he does it. See, men's that way. Women go, oh, what if he's hurt? And this compassion and this empathy and this motherly stuff just comes out of them. And they really think we're weird when we laugh that way. Right? How many of you, men, sometimes you'll watch a boxing match on TV and your wife will come through the room and go, why do you watch that? People beating each other up. Turn that off. Right? There we are, right in our brain. It is possible. How do we live in understanding? Okay, let's go back. Don't turn back, but just listen. Proverbs 31, it says, when you find a virtuous wife, we find a wife of power. A wife of influence. A wife of value or worth. What's God trying to get across to us when he says live with an understanding way? What do they bring into the mix? What do they bring into the mix? Notice it says in here, giving honor to the wife. Giving honor, it's favoritism. It's special kindness. Do you understand that because we are so logical as men, that the reason we give special kindness is because they did something for us, so we try and thank them by being nice to them? Come on, man. Most of our niceness is responsive niceness. That one hurt me. I'm responsively nice to my wife. She does something good. I go, oh, that was nice. How many of you men have ever had your wife say to you, when we were dating, you used to? Right? I already saw the movement on some of you. Want to know why that happened? Once the man captured you and drug you back to the cave by your hair, he said, I own you now. What is the problem? Everything was expected. Men are responsive to that. When you say yes, we said yes. Hallelujah. Search over. Now you can do what I'm sure God created you to do. Because occasionally that's, I know this is harsh, but Come on, man, don't be hiding there going, dear God, just shut up, Pastor. Jiminy Christmas. You're breaking all the rules here, all the secret boy stuff. Right? Where what rises up on the inside of us. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, this verse has been so significantly mishandled. First of all, it doesn't say they are weaker. It says as if. But then the word weaker there is really not a good translation. Yes, I can probably lift more weight than my wife. So technically, she is weaker than me. Yes, we understand that. We were made that great testosterone thing again. We were made when our muscles develop, they develop differently. Then, you know, I mean, if you don't believe that, just you know, grab a hold of your husband's arm and feel it, and grab a hold of your own. You'll find that your skin is softer because testosterone has an effect. It makes you rougher and other things, you know. That's just how God made us. But that's not what it's talking about. It actually means more vulnerable. As if she's more vulnerable. Now, why would our husbands be more vulnerable, or our wives be more vulnerable? Why should we treat them as being more vulnerable? Because the Bible says they have to submit to us as unto Christ. So they're... It's absolutely amazing. Last thing. Of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I double dog dare you to find that anywhere else in the Bible as well. That as a direct result of mishandling the understanding that the Bible clearly points out to us, our prayers are hindered. See, we're praying. I pray all the time that my wife will understand the honor, understand how she was created by God, understand how valuable she is to me. I just pray it a lot. Under my breath, while I'm away from her. Oh, but when she got home, I may not have communicated that as well. Because she gets her power, her influence, her value from words. That's why she uses hers. Every woman does, by the way. They need to hear it. I'm not very good at that personal little thing here. All right. Proverbs 31. I told you we were going to pray. Look at the 28th verse of Proverbs 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Again, another great verse. Do you know what rise up means? It literally means to stand and ratify. It's likely where the politeness comes from of standing when a woman leaves a table you're sitting at. It's to rise and ratify her value. Notice what it says. Her children rise up, or literally stand in agreement, and call her blessed. Call her blessed. What do you call what? Called her what? Blessed. What it means is they rise up and call her what the bull of her qualities. Right? When you praise God, Lord, I praise you for who you are. You're showing yourself sensible of his qualities. Right? That's what praise does. Praise points out, hey, I noticed that. And you're showing yourself sensible, literally intellectually connected and also then spiritually connected with the properties or the excellence that's in them. So, here's what we're going to do. I told you we were going to do this. And so here's what we're going to do. I want all the moms to stay seated. I want all the kids and dads to rise in agreement with what God's Word says and get around your moms. Go ahead, move quickly. Maybe for more than one generation.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and please feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.